Hey, every Monday we check in with Dick Weiss, media critic extraordinaire, who is our media critic. He's a longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, has since retired. He's also a contributing editor to stlbeacon.org, stlbeacon.org. You can also find him at weissright.com. Dick, always a pleasure, my friend.
Hey, I have just one thing to say.
What's that?
You're missing the whole point. This show is a joke. You are a joke.
You like that, don't
you? I want to get some hits.
You like that, huh?
Maybe I can get 160,000 hits on my podcast.
How about that, huh?
Not bad. You did pretty well taking down Nancy Grace.
Did I do you proud, media critic, or are you upset?
Well,
with me?
I just wonder why you're on there on the first place.
In the first place. Very good question. Very good question. I agree with you, and I didn't see myself being I saw myself being on that show for the next 6 months.
I'll tell you, I watched the show, and I don't know why anybody watches it, because it is like Hollywood Squares on amphetamines. It just go from one person to another. There's no context.
Right.
There's no rhyme or reason to what's going on that show. I don't know. It's unwatchable as far as I'm concerned.
Were you watching it live?
Yes. Yeah. When you told me you were going to be on, I said, okay, I gotta watch this. And
right.
I turned it on, and they're going a mile a minute from one character to the next. There were probably about half a dozen people on that show.
Right.
Talking about this case.
Not to mention Jeff Cooper from the Major K Squad, who wasn't saying anything.
Right.
I mean, none of us were saying anything, but he really wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, and then she shows the family at the gravesite.
Right.
And she's talking about, this should run chills down every mother's spine. Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, where's the news? Where's the information?
Right.
Nothing.
So do I get credit, or are you critical of me?
I think she deserved what she got. She seemed to brush it off pretty easily. Oh, yeah. Pull his mic. Fine.
I will say.
She was unflappable.
I will say this, is that for the next two nights I watched,
and
she asked the question I told her to ask 15 times. She
right.
said, "Why
right?
they have arrested him? Why did it take them so long to arrest him? Why?" And so she asked the question at least 15 times, which was the question people here in St. Louis wanted to know.
And of course, within a couple of days, they did.
Within 24 hours, they arrested.
They were obviously listening to.
Well,
the
I don't know about that.
Nancy Grace program and acted.
I don't know about that, but you bring up the fact that there were a number of reporters last week who were questioning other reporters.
Yes, it's kind of an interesting week for reporters on reporters. We had Jeremiah McWilliams did a blog on STL Today. Jeremiah covers Anheuser-Busch for the Post-Dispatch, and he was writing about Lisa Zygmunt's report on Channel 5. Anheuser-Busch executives went off-site to apparently discuss layoffs, and they looked like they were, by Lisa's account and by an unidentified sources account, were having just a little bit too much fun.
Okay.
Toasting each other, and they were on a boat. And what Jeremiah raised was, should we be outraged by this particularly? Elisa was certainly trying to suggest that. And the difference between Anheuser-Busch having an offsite, number one, was they had an offsite on a boat that they already owned. So they actually saved money by not going to a hotel or to a fancy resort. The other was that Anheuser-Busch isn't taking bailout money like AIG and some of the others who were having Sheryl Crow concerts and so on. And, of course, maybe they were toasting each other, but the organization does make alcoholic beverages. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't like the Joyce Meyer's ministry that was found, drinking beer.
Right. That was kind of a low-rent investigation as far as I was concerned. I agree with Jeremiah questioning it.
I agree, too, because even though I like Lisa Zygmunt and she does do great work, there is a big difference between a privately run company choosing to spend their money and not.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The I-team, Lisa said she spent like a month on that, and the other member of the I-team was out finding bears in Missouri and reporting on that. So it was a slow month for the I-team.
Dick, going after Channel 5 a little bit. So that was two of us. What's the third?
Oh, and the third is Joe Pollack in the St. Louis Journalism Review called out Brian Burwell. This is something that happened in the March Madness tournament. University of Missouri played University of Connecticut. Connecticut won, and Brian Burwell reported that the UConn Huskies cut down the nets. But apparently it didn't happen because the New York Times reported that the Huskies did not cut down the nets because, you know, they'd only gotten – they hadn't gotten to the end of their run. Joe said was Brian Burwell there? And if he was there, why did he just – was he have his back turned, just assume they cut down the nets or what? Didn't see a correction in the Post-Dispatch on that one.
Now, could Brian Burwell – because cutting down the nets is a –
Oh, a metaphor,
a
you
metaphor.
Say?
Yeah. Right? I mean, could it not be taken as that?
Well, the way he reported it, you've got it in front of you. The way he wrote it was that they were literally cutting down the nets.
Yeah.
As far as
did
as
I get it back?
So,
no.
But, you know, maybe that would be a defense. He was speaking metaphorically.
Yeah. He says the Connecticut Huskies, not the Tigers, were still out there on the basketball court cutting down the nets, laughing and hugging and high-fiving themselves. Silly. However, the New York Times wrote, Connecticut didn't cut down the nets after the game, a sign of unfinished business. Yeah, that's not good. I thought Joe Pollack was a restaurant critic.
Joe Pollack is a restaurant critic, a media critic, a theater critic.
Oh, and, you're all media critics.
He's all over the place.
Everyone's a media critic these days. Yes, but did Brian Burwell ask the question everybody wanted to know? Why is that man still – no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. So you know, it's now that you bring all this up, very rarely do you see one journalist critical of another journalist, but here you have three different stories of somebody calling out another journalist.
Yes, it happens. It happens. I did a piece a long time ago saying the Cardinals should trade Mark McGwire, and Bernie Miklos was interviewed about that, and he said that Dick Weiss –
is an idiot.
Has his head inserted in the wrong place, and he called me out on it.
Yeah.
I got back in touch with him later, and I said, "Do we need to have a talk?" And then we did. So there you go.
All right, there you go. What else you have going on?
Well, the Post-Dispatch, Lee Enterprises, is beginning negotiations with the Guild, and how would you like to take a 23% wage cut over 3 years? McGraw, are you okay with that?
That's the deal.
23% over 3 years is what the Guild is reporting the first offer is. Pay cuts of 15% in the first year, 5% in the second year, and 5% in the third year of a three-year contract. And they also propose that to lay off employees for any reason and without regard to seniority, and they want the right to suspend employees for up to 3 days without just cause or recourse through the grievance procedure.
Now, I've been through a couple of these union deals, and some of them, they just throw stuff up there
right. For
no reason.
Right.
You know, never planning on ever getting any of it back.
Yeah, this is rather draconian compared to previous years. Usually it's like, okay, we can't give you a pay raise.
Right.
Now let's take it take us down 23%. It said... there was a posting on the Guild website which said, these opening demands are insulting to the employees, opportunistic, and poorly conceived. The Post-Dispatch is a profitable company. In 2008, the Post-Dispatch sent $207 million to Davenport. If Lee Enterprises thinks the employees in St. Louis will settle for this kind of treatment, they are wrong, as usual. Everybody's got the knives out.
I thought that you would be going after... or at least talking about ManCow. Have you heard about ManCow?
No.
This conservative shock jock talk show.
Oh, the waterboarding guy?
Yeah.
In Chicago. Yeah. Why not here?
Who has come out and said that waterboarding wasn't torture and let me waterboard. So
he lasted 7 seconds.
Lasts 7 seconds, stops and says, without a doubt, hands down, this is torture.
Yeah. Now, how many hits did he get on YouTube?
I don't know. Probably
more than you?
Probably quite a bit.
I think maybe it's time for a little waterboarding around here.
He's a little bigger. but this goes to, you know, Sean Hannity's been saying for years it isn't waterboarding, and I'll waterboard myself. And
what happened with Sean? Did he?
He hasn't done that.
A lot of us would like to see that.
And then I think your buddy Sylvester Brown might have an argument or two. Did you see that the
Tom Friedman?
New York Times has slapped the world's greatest columnist, Thomas Friedman, for taking money. Well, you know the story. Don't
yeah,
you?
The Tom Friedman spoke at a industry organization. Something around the idea of green power or something like that.
Right.
And he was going to be paid $75,000. Apparently, that's what he gets for every speech. It's just a tad more than what I get when
right.
I speak.
Sure.
And it got around the blogosphere, and Tom was called in and said, you can't take that money because you write about these issues.
Right.
And we have rules. And Tom gave it back. And
well, that's what Sylvester
Brown
to
accepted a $250 reimbursement for a plane ticket.
Yes,
got a check, never cashed it,
and offered to give it back.
Right.
Yes,
and he is on the street.
Yes, and while we're talking about the New York Times, Maureen Dowd
right.
is in trouble for lifting whole paragraphs from a blog.
A paragraph that she said was sent to her. She's talking about, I think it was an article on Dick Cheney, and was talking about some angle on it, and a friend had provided her with an idea that she wanted to use, and she picked the words up from her friend and put it in her column. What she didn't know, she says, is that her friend had taken it from somebody's blog,
mm-hmm.
and it was verbatim. I think one word was changed, and it was verbatim. And this was written about in the Times by the public, I don't want to call it, what is it? Public editor, I think it's called. The,
right.
The Reader's Advocate, kind of exposed. And what was wrong with that really was not only, if she didn't know that she was taking somebody else's work and putting it in her column, she was using somebody else's idea.
Right.
And she didn't attribute it.
Right.
That's wrong.
Right.
And they ran a correction, and she goes on her merry way.
But you know what? You know what's interesting, though? David Letterman makes millions of dollars telling other people's jokes.
That's right.
He has writers.
And he doesn't, yeah. According to my writers,
right.
This is your top 10. No,
right.
He doesn't say that,
That's
does
exactly
he?
That's exactly right. All
yeah.
that is scripted.
Yeah.
Matt Lauer goes on the Today Show, and now, are his questions written out for him? I'm sure they are. Does he ask his own questions? Sure. But, you know, the line is totally blurred in there.
That's right.
He has producers prepping him. So what's real? What isn't real?
Yeah, it really all comes down to what the reader's understanding of the situation is. When they're watching David Letterman, they know the jokes are written for Dave.
Do they? Or
and
do
they appreciate his inflection and the way he delivers it.
But they say the next day, boy, I heard David Letterman say
right.
X, Y,
right.
Z.
Right.
Yeah.
But
all right.
He pays them well and
he
he's
does.
Nice to them.
Yes, he does. What's the best story we've never read?
Well, there's a piece, it's rather a horrific story about a mom who is has a son who is autistic, and she was writing early when her son was kind of a teenager, a preteen, about his autism and how he was dealing with it and doing fairly well, and writing stories about how autism in some ways is a gift. Well, the son is now 21, and he is extremely violent. And now she's written a story saying otherwise, and she's not saying that every child is autistic child is prone to violence, but that some are. And this piece is written by Ann Bauer. It's in Salon.com, and it's called The Monster Inside My Son.
Interesting.
And she says, for years I thought of his autism as beautiful and mysterious, but when he turned unspeakably violent, I had to question everything I knew.
And we can find this at Weisright.com.
Yeah, you can find the link at Weisright.com.
I got about 30 seconds. I like it when reporters call out other reporters. I mean, it adds to the
conversation. Yeah,
it
hold each other accountable.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We do that. I wanted to mention that I am a Twitter. You Twitter, right?
I Twitter.
You Twitter. My handle is @Weisright, and you can follow my Twitters if you like, and I'll follow yours. And
your handle?
Follow each other. Yeah. Isn't that like TV radio?
Right,
right. What is it called?
What's your handle? I don't know what it's called. I don't even know mine. I just go to.
Andrew's nodding. He's okay
sense.
With a handle.
My handle. All right. All right.
This show is a joke.
This show is a joke. But the difference is I know this show is a joke. Nancy Grace doesn't know her show is a joke. Dick Weiss, always a pleasure. WeissWright.com. That's where we find you. Also, that's your handle on the web, WeissWright.com. 852. We'll check in with Mr. Outside Mr. Hollywood next on the Big 550 KTRS.